Come, O Jesus, be our guest. Let these words be yours and blessed. Amen. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I wanted to put my arms around you just as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, yet you would not let me. To me, that's a very powerful image. Jesus standing there, waiting for a hug that isn't coming. You know, the words of the image take on a whole new meaning when you become, as like it is in our house, empty nesters. When your children have left home and they only come back to visit. You have to clean up for them. I don't even know what that is all about. It's like they have their own lives and they go about their business and you think of them and they think of you, but it's a more partial now anymore. And it's less and less of an impact. The love hasn't changed, but the commonality. It's almost as parents, we're sitting out there waiting for a hug. It doesn't happen. But Jesus does this whole gospel lesson. I feel the pathos there. And yet, existentially with the empty nesting, I also go right back to the first time we had a hug rejected. It goes down in molar lore. Something when Laura, my older daughter, had just turned 7. And she made this announcement to us right before bedtime. She stood there defiantly and said, I'm a big girl now, Mommy. I don't need my bedtime hugs anymore. Now, Patty and Laura had this ritual where before they go to bed, they had this big hug and they'd say a little prayer together and they'd both go to bed and fall asleep. But no, she was all grown up, didn't want that over. And Patty was devastated. I tried to do my best to cheer her up, saying, I'll hug you all you want. It was the same thing. And my words trying to put a rational spin on it. I said, it's just a matter of our little girls growing up. But she just wouldn't have the tears kept coming. And says, but she wants to grow up without me. So I said, I figured that's the kind of way Jesus felt. As he's overlooking Jerusalem, seeing it going about its business, completely unmindful of their Savior on top of the hill. His children rejecting him in the same way. And those children, they'd be us. And I was intrigued by that metaphor. The more I thought of it over the last week or two, the more I tried to think, why would anybody refuse a hug? And I came up with 4 different reasons. And I thought, how neat. These reasons that people don't hug are pretty well kind of parallel to reflect our own Jerusalem-like resistance of our Lord and Savior, open arms, waiting to hug us. So here's the 4 I came up with. Maybe you can come up with some on your own. I don't mean to know if you can. Rejection of hug type 1. No, I'm all grown up. That's what Laura's thing was. And really, what that really means is the person is saying, I don't need you anymore. Like training wheels, plastic pants, and the tooth fairy. We're all beyond that now, like you. We do that. And we do it all the time with God. We pay him no mind as we go about our business. We live our lives as if we don't need him, as if we've outgrown him somehow. That God is there for maybe the pathetically, perpetually naive or immature. But we assume we can handle whatever the world dishes out for us, even when we can't. And so we go through life confusing trust with hopelessness, faith with weakness, and grace with failure. Even when we know we're in way over our heads, when we realize there's no one to turn to but God, we're still too proud to ask for his love and protection and comfort and help, even though it's freely offered every single moment. We're going to go on our own. Hugs are for babies. Those who need their parents' embrace to get through life aren't going to get through life. What does Jesus say to this? He agrees 100%. You can't get by without me. And so he stands off at a distance, arms open, and says, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I wanted to gather, put my arms around you and gather you up as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you wouldn't let me. Hug rejected type 2. No, I'm not comfortable getting so close to you. In all honesty, there are times where I don't want to hug. Particularly if you're driving a long distance to visit relatives, you come into the home and you got there, your back's all sweaty and they want to hug you. Ah, just leave me alone, you know. I don't want to hug because sometimes I feel too fat, maybe always feeling too fat. I don't want to hug because that might set the hug precedent. You hug once, you gotta hug every other time. No. If you're like that, there are things we want to keep our distance, keep at arm's length. Hug might mean getting too close. Other people might assume things. And so instead of feeling the love of a warm embrace, we interpret it to be stifled, smothered, maybe exposed somehow. Could you imagine being completely overjoyed with somebody, receiving a great gift from somebody, and saying, thank you, handshake, we'll be fine. How dumb is that? Human beings are made for community. Why would we want to keep things at arm's length? Why would we want to be alone? How fragile the self-proclaimed independence can be. Sometimes it can even be tragic. I mean, sure, I'll admit that when we allow ourselves the intimacy of an embrace, it also means exposing ourselves to a certain degree, to becoming closer than we might feel comfortable. But at the same time, that's where we find the most comfort. We become the most vulnerable, but that's when we receive the greatest strength. You know, when nothing seems to be working, when disaster strikes close to home, when the unfairness of life knocks us for a loop, when we feel completely isolated and alone, where can we turn? Where can we go? The thing is, it's not a where question. It's a who question. Jesus has the answer. Actually, Jesus is the answer. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I wanted to put my arms around you just as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't let me. Hug rejected type 3. I'm furious with you. I mean, I've seen this scenario act out oftentimes between spouses. Siblings. One partner literally clinging to the other, usually in vain, to keep them from running away, from not dealing with something, trying to do physically what hasn't been happening emotionally and caused it. Could be a misunderstanding, communication breakdown, maybe something hurtful that's done has driven a wedge between two people. And the hug is rejected because it's misconstrued. The hug is there to kind of say, oh, that means the problem doesn't happen anymore. Let's pretend it's away. Let's act as all cool, dismiss it, no big deal. Now, the thing is, this may sometimes happen with marital relationships or between family and friends, but it never happens between us and Jesus. I guarantee it. I can say that because in Jesus' case, it is the aggrieved party that wants the hug. It's the forgiving one who clings so desperately, refusing to let the tormentor go away. It's Christ whom we have hurt. Our sins made him crucified. It's Christ who extends his arms out to us. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How many times I wanted to put my arms around you, and just as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, yeah, you wouldn't let me. Hug rejected type 4. No, I don't know you. Has that ever happened yet? You get an exuberant hug from somebody you don't know? About 10 years ago, when I was at one of the classes I was teaching at Concordia, the students, a whole bunch of them came up to me, and they were talking about this class experiment they had in psychology. And they said, this guy told us our field project was to go to the airport or the Lloyd Center and just run around hugging complete strangers. And the assignment was, no reactions. Now, obviously, it made a big deal. They were complaining about it in my class, but only one person actually said they got hugged back, that people appreciated it. Another person had a very articulate strain. He hugged somebody, and then she jumped away and goes, "You were a stranger, but now you're stranger," and she ran away. But almost everyone else rejected it. They were mad. They were angry. They saw it as an invasion of space. Get out of my bubble. Don't hug me. I don't know you. And we know that that's probably the case. It would be. But that should never be the case with Christ. He wants to hug us because we're his children. He loves us that much. How dare we act as if we are strangers? For my mother lives in an Alzheimer's house. Her roommate, I remember their son came the last time to visit. And she was standing there, and he gave, "Hi, Mom," and gives her this big hug. And she stands there, arms by her side, and goes, "I don't know you." And her son just goes, "Oh, you know me, but I know you more." Okay, but she didn't hug back. Is that like me? We do that with Jesus? Act as if we're strangers? He knows us. Completely, totally, inside and out. And he loves us the same way, completely, totally, inside and out, unconditionally. And he wants us to know him and love him back. So he's standing there, waiting for us with open arms. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I wanted to put my arms around you? Just as a mother hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. I think you get the gist of what I'm saying. You might have other reasons not to hug people. But the idea is hugging is actually good for you. Don't let your attitude to be Jesus be rejecting his hugs. Scientific studies, one by UCLA, one by the University of North Carolina 2 years ago, both prove scientifically, medically, that hugs are good for you. That it promotes health and life. That a hug stirs the hemoglobins in your blood, that part of it that actually revigorates and brings oxygen to those body parts. So a hug reduces stress, tones up the whole body, helps prevent diseases, speeds recovery. We can do really a lot worse than be recognized as a hugging community. Especially when the hug we share starts with our Savior. In Luke's gospel, he makes a point of Jesus resolutely turning to Jerusalem. Luke says, he set his face towards Jerusalem. That's 957. You want to look it up, make sure I'm telling you the truth. But Jesus does that. And he has no illusions. He knows he's going to Jerusalem, he's going to be killed there. And he knows who's going to kill him. And so now, all of a sudden, there it is. The city spread out before him, and he takes a long, lingering look at all its hustle and bustle. But his words speak not of fear or bitterness or resignation or even justifiable rage. He confesses his love. He offers forgiveness. He opens his arms beforehand. All the while knowing that that love and forgiveness he's offering is going to be rejected, just as he is going to be rejected. Maybe you know that feeling. But there's one crucial difference between our own having a hug rejected and Jesus. Those arms held wide open, they stay that way. For us, if a hug's rejected, we sit there and wait, wait. But eventually our hands fall to the sides. Not Jesus. They're still held wide open as he's nailed to the cross. They're still held wide open as he rises from the grave. They're still held wide open as he ascends into heaven. And they're still held wide open even now, waiting for us. Adamant that we know that this is where we belong. that in his arms, there's no better place to be. Vancouver. How many times I wanted to put my arms around you and gather you up as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you would not let it. Please, let it. Now this past week, both my daughters went back south to Oregon, north to Canada, and Patty and I got some pretty good hugs as they left, so that was good. But I do think I need to finish my story about the tremendous hug dependence day that happened way back 20 years ago, because it ended very beautifully, a lot better than it started. You see, that night, we all went to bed a little bit more unsettled in our different rooms. Laura without her hug, and she had a real bad dream. In fact, she remembered it was about toucans attacking her, and she was crying in the night. I heard it, I started to get up, and Patty said, "No, she's going to want me." So I let her. But in the morning, I peeked in. And there they were, the two of them together in my daughter's tiny single bed, sleeping soundly. Laura with her arms around her mother's shoulders, and Patty asleep with her tiny baby snuggled in her arms, radiant smile on her face. It's never too late. Christ is waiting. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, in Christ Jesus, the life everlasting.